Slavery and the Civil War are having a moment in American pop culture. In the last 3 years, we've had Django Unchained, Lincoln, 12 Years a Slave, and Belle, which depicted the life of a mixed-race woman in 18th century England. This year, on April 9, 2015, we will mark the 150th anniversary of Robert E. Lee's surrender at Appomattox Courthouse, which ends the Civil War and sends us barreling into Reconstruction and emancipation.
At the same time as all this conversation about slavery and emancipation has been going on in popular culture, within the Academy, people have been producing excellent pathbreaking work on slavery, reconceptualizing a very difficult time in the American past.
With all of that in mind, we decided now would be a good time to talk more about slavery in a deliberate and public way.
We're thinking of this podcast series as sort of the equivalent of a college class that you always wanted to take but somehow missed. We're looking at it as an opportunity to talk to some of the scholars I mentioned who are doing excellent work in the area at this time.
This is the History of American Slavery, a Slate Academy. My name is Jamel Bowie. I'm a Slate staff writer.
My name is Rebecca Onion, and I'm Slate's history writer. So Jamel, tell me why you're interested in learning more about this topic.
Well, I've read quite a bit about the Civil War and about Reconstruction, and I've read some about American slavery, but my knowledge of American slavery is much more patchy than I would like, and it's missing key details about how enslaved Africans lived, what their political experiences were like, sort of the real details I think helps enhance an understanding of any period. And so I'm in this for the simple reason that I want to know more. And I feel like I missed key parts of that in my, collegiate education.
And I'm a 20th century historian by training. And I have what I've come to realize in recent years is a monolithic vision of what slavery was like. When we started doing research for this podcast, we both read a great book, The Half Has Never Been Told by Ed Baptist, who we'll interview later in this series. And he wrote a bit about this sort of popular view of slavery as sort of a series of signifiers. It all has to do with cotton. It all happened around the 1850s. There's suffering. And what else?
Right. Well, one way to put that is we tend to see slavery as nothing more than the lead up to the Civil War. But The reality is that it's a very dynamic institution in its own right. And that's really worth exploring.
Yes. Ed Baptist calls it a process of movement and change in suspense. So sort of looked at chronologically, it's about the way that people sort of evolved this institution.
Right.
Which also at the same time brings much more accountability into the picture in some way. You see it as something that people are continually making the choice to perpetuate.
Right. Right. It doesn't just move along like a monolith. It has to be continuously refreshed.
Exactly. And so we chose to do this podcast in a series of lives. We're going to be centering each episode on one person's experience. And my hope is by doing it that way, not only will we personalize the history and talk about the way that political and cultural and economic changes affected people who were enslaved, but also we can look at the way that the institution changed as time moved forward.
Right. We can see how individual people experience those changes in the institution and how the life of a slave in 1850 really was fundamentally different than the life of a slave in 1750.
Exactly. And another reason I'm interested in looking at it is that, you sort of see slavery pop its head into political discourse every once in a while. And it's amazing to me that in 2015, you still have people apologizing for slavery or saying, oh, maybe it wasn't so bad, or, trying to diminish it. And so as someone who's interested in historical memory, which I am, I'm just intrigued by this conundrum of slavery's continuing life in our political and cultural world.
We still have a hard time. We don't just have a hard time talking about it, but we have a hard time memorializing it in a significant way. There aren't very many museums dedicated to slavery in the United States.
Yes. In terms of monuments and statues, they're few and far between. You're far more likely to see an enslaved person in a statue who's sort of clutching at Lincoln's ankles,
right,
sort of beseeching him to be set free, than you might be to see someone on their own terms.
So this is just our attempt to give more light to the history of American slavery and to educate ourselves and in the process bring you guys along.
And it's our excuse to call up some really interesting scholars and see what they think. So we have a few housekeeping notes about how we're going to approach this. and some of the choices we've made in presenting the material. First of all, Jamel, do you say enslaved person, slave? What do you say?
I've grown up saying slave, but in recent years and in following the lead of more historians, I've tried to say enslaved instead.
What's your perception as to why make that change?
I think slave connotes sort of a certain staticness to everything. I think enslaved in the word tells you that this is an action being done. It's not just a status quo that happened, that they were enslaved. And thinking of people as enslaved Africans or enslaved Americans continuously emphasizes the fact that these are actions happening.
On Twitter, I asked some historians to weigh in on that question because I noticed in reading a lot more history of slavery that there's a wide variety of approaches. And so I got some interesting responses. You know, most of the arguments for enslaved person were along the lines that you mentioned. One person said that they looked at the choice to use enslaved person as a way to emphasize humanity over commodity. So by restoring the person to the equation, you're looking at it as a person and not a function. So another thing that I found, it's interesting, a couple people said that if you use slave in certain contexts, it's actually a good way, because that was what enslavers were using at the time. You know, if you're like aware of it and careful about it, it can be a good way to remind people of the totality of the institution in some ways. So there's a little bit of a debate over it. I think on the whole, I would go with enslaved person.
Yeah.
There's a way that it kind of gets awkward a little bit sometimes. Yes. Yes. In prose. And some people did mention, you know, sometimes I'll say slave, or bond person is another way to say it, which is, again, refers to the status without totalizing what the person is.
Right. You'll likely hear me go back and forth between the two just because that's just how language works. And sometimes I'm not going to remember to say enslave, and I'll just say slave instead.
Yeah.
But Rebecca, absolutely right. I think on the whole, we're going to aim for enslaved as the designation we use.
I think it's more on par with our worldview of what the history is. All right. And then another housekeeping thing I wanted to mention is that we're going to have a bunch of material online, and we're going to have excerpts from some of the books that we're going to be talking about, and we'll have maps and charts, which we'll be continually reminding you of through these episodes.
Yes. We have a tremendous amount of material, and we don't have time to give you 3-hour episodes. And so instead, there will be a wealth of that material available online for you to check out.
At the end of each episode, we'll be reminding you of the excerpts from books that will be discussed in the next episode. So if you so choose, you could treat this like a class and read the homework before you listen to the next episode. Nobody is checking.
And with all of that, we hope you enjoy this as much as we have, and that you stick around and listen to this whole series, which is going to be great.